So how many of you had an amazing Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Raise your hands. Let me see. Yeah, Thanksgiving with family and with friends and with food. And we had a good time at our house. My parents were there. Both my sons were there. One came over from the Detroit area where he lives. We got to watch the Lions and Bears. My dad's a Bears fan. He was a little disappointed, but I'm rooting for the Lions. So the Lions won, right? Yeah, that's okay. You can clap. It's all good. So that was good. We talked to my daughter. My daughter lives in Australia, so I think I win the prize for the longest long-distance phone call on Thanksgiving Day. It's really cool because when your kid's in college, a lot of time they call and they wake you up. My daughter texted me at 5:15 this morning, and her text was, "Are you awake?" And my response was, "I am now." So it was really exciting because at 4 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, I was able to call her, which is like 6 o'clock a.m., and wake her up, which was really fun. We got to wake her up. She's a missionary over there in Australia, and she sends her love to all of you and thanks you for your support and your encouragement. I think really Thanksgiving for me is one of those days where I just really feel like my heart is full. To be surrounded by people that I love and people who love me, I don't know. I suppose that's a universal thing that transcends cultures and really even time. But for me, I don't take that for granted anymore. And to be able surrounded by people that I love is really just amazing. I hope that was your experience Thursday too. I hope you're surrounded by people that you love and had an opportunity to just love on them in return. And we've been talking now for this week and the last 3 weeks about being surrounded by people, specifically surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. There's this amazing scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 that we've been exploring for the last month, Hebrews 12 and Hebrews 11 that precedes it, that talks about this cloud of witnesses that surrounds us in the kingdom of God, that surrounds the church. And so this has been sort of our jumping off point, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, as we've looked at how we run this race called life with all of its hills and valleys and blind turns and twists. We've just really been learning about how we're called to run. And I just want us to begin this morning again by reading Hebrews 12, 1 together. We're going to read it out loud just the way they did in the early church, reading out loud. Here we go, all of us together. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Now, over the last few weeks, we've looked at some amazing people in Scripture, haven't we? We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Moses. We talked about all of those judges, Gideon and Jephthah, and Samson and Barak. We talked about some amazing people in Scripture who are a part of that cloud, who, as they look down from heaven's vantage point, gaze upon you and me as we run our race, and they're cheering us on. They're wanting you to win in this race that we call life. We've also talked about some amazing people from South Lansing Christian Church, from our church family, who are themselves a part of that great cloud of witnesses now. They've gone on to their heavenly reward, and they sit among the luminaries of heaven, gazing down upon you and me, wanting us to win in this race. We talked about Doc Doty that first week, Ruth's husband. We talked about him and how amazing he was. And I want you to know Doc is rooting for you today. He wants you to win. We talked about Jeannie Brown, Jeannie who was taken too soon from us, but who is in heaven waiting for you and waiting for me. She wants you to win. We talked about Ann Fischel, a woman of faith that I never had the opportunity to meet, but I know that she's rooting for me and she's rooting for you, and she wants you to win in this race called life. And sometimes when you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling confused, when you're feeling fearful, I want you to remember that there is this amazing cloud of witnesses rooting for you. They want you to win, and they're encouraging you on. This morning, as we wrap up, I wanted to talk about one other person from South who's a part of that cloud of witnesses. Bob Palmer was South Lansing Church of Christ's third preacher. He preached here from 1964 to 1987 and had just a huge impact on people all throughout our church and throughout our community. And many people, when they talk about South, they talk about Bob as the legacy pastor of our church, who sort of set the standard that each of us subsequent ministers have aspired to attain. Just an amazing man of God. And so I asked this week several people, just via Facebook, to just give me some of their thoughts about Mr. Palmer. And here are what some of those people wrote. Debbie Roundtree wrote, "Wow, there are so many wonderful memories and stories about this amazing Christian man. Probably the one that really has meant the most to me was when he went to the first ever CIY in the Ozark Mountains with our senior high youth group." Isn't that amazing? Our church has been going to CIY since CIY has existed. Our students went on that very first trip to the Christ and Youth Conference in the Ozark Mountains. Here's what she writes. "You have to understand, it was something that was just not done back then. He loved and supported all of us kids so much. He could have stayed home, but he chose to ride in the Greyhound bus, and it was a rough ride. We had so much fun with him. He instilled in each one of us that group, instilled in each one of us in that group that we could have fun as Christians. His support for youth throughout his life is something that has always stayed with me." Mike Hackney wrote these words. "After Mr. Palmer retired and was living at Great Lakes Christian Homes, I would see him and we would kid around. And any time I needed to talk, he said, just knock on the door. Whatever he was doing, he would set aside and take time to talk and, more importantly, to listen. Andy Hansen grew up here at South Lansing Christian Church. He is now the president of Christ in Youth out in Joplin, Missouri, and he wrote these words about Mr. Palmer. I never questioned Mr. Palmer's personal integrity or his love for God's word. At the same time, there was always that twinkle in his eye and incredible humor. He was one class act, was thoroughly prepared to preach, organized in his time in ministry, and cared for his flock. I loved to watch him utilize his wit with other preachers when at activities at Rock Lake Christian Assembly or Great Lakes Christian College or the Michigan Christian Convention. I recall one youth group time when we were really pushing him biblically on why Christians shouldn't dance. He masterfully did the best he could to give the party line correct answer, but still oozed grace. He wasn't afraid to take a strong stand on truth. Bottom line, he loved South Lansing Christian Church, and his flock loved him." Time doesn't permit. I wish I could. There were several others that I wish I could just, you know, read for you. I encourage you, if you get a chance, go to my Facebook page and check those out, because there are several other people who commented on the impact that Mr. Palmer had in their lives. And I want you to know that this morning, he is a part of that great cloud of witnesses. He's a part of your story. Even if you never met Mr. Palmer, your story and his story, they're one and the same. And he's a part of that great cloud of witnesses encouraging you on. He wants you to win in this race. It might surprise you to know that I am not a runner. I have ran before. I actually ran a 5K one time, and I finished. I ran it in 28 minutes and 30 seconds, which I was the last in my division. I was the last in the male division, age 30 to 40. I did beat a couple of small children and a couple of older women. So I'm not a runner, but I admire people who run, and you know, one of these days I really probably will begin that again soon, maybe. But one of the things that experienced runners will tell you is this. If you're a runner, if you're an experienced runner and you want to be successful, you have to keep your eyes up. You have to keep your eyes up, because what can happen if you drop your eyes and you're running, it begins to affect your whole posture. Your head begins to feel really heavy, and it affects your time. Experienced runners will tell you to keep your eyes up. In fact, I was reading this week, when you're running up a hill, When you're running up a hill in particular and the incline is steep, the tendency is to look down and to sort of bear into that hill. And that's when your time really begins to be affected negatively. And so they tell you, keep your eyes up and keep your posture erect so that you're running up that hill. You're running with presence and with strength. Runners will tell you that when you're in a competitive race, you want to keep your eyes on the runner who's in front of you and begin to even allow your mind to think of that person reeling you in as your eyes are on them and you begin to close the gap between you and the person who has the position that you're trying to grab. Runners will tell you that as you make that final turn and you approach the finish line, that you keep your eyes up, you keep them and you run through the finish line and you finish strongly. And as we finish this series from Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 this morning, this is what I would have you do. I would have you keep your eyes up, because if you don't want to give up, you need to keep your eyes up. Often keeping your eyes focused the correct place is the difference between finishing well and finishing badly. And if you don't want to give up partway through this race, friends, you have got to keep your eyes up. There are three places I'd love for you to keep your eyes this morning and in the days to come as you contemplate these words from Hebrews chapter 12. The first is this: I'd love for you just to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Here's this Hebrews 12:1 again. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance that is marked out for us. Perseverance, you know what? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Speed does not win this race that we call life. Endurance wins this race. It's not about, I want you to know this morning, it's not about where you started from. I mean, you might have started this race with a major handicap. You might have started way back in the pack. A few years ago when Tracy and I were down at the Capitol and we ran the race for the cure, I should say I walked the race for the cure, right? I noticed that they put us clear in the back. The competitive runners were right up front. You know, the ones with the fancy gear and the shoes and the number painted on their leg and they got the chip in their shoe, you know, so the time. Those people are right up front. They're the really competitive. We started way in the back. There were like 10,000 people in front of us. And maybe that's the way you feel today. Like you sort of started life behind. You sort of started life in a hole and you're just trying to work your way out of it. I want you to know it does not matter this morning where you started from. I want you to know it doesn't matter this morning where you're at on the race course. If you feel like you're in a valley this morning, that's okay. It's not going to hurt your finish. If maybe you feel like you're approaching a blind turn and you don't know what's ahead and you're fearful or you're confused. It doesn't matter where you're at this morning. What matters in this race that we call life isn't where you started from. It's not where you're at. Friends, what matters this morning is where you finish, that you finish well. This race is about finishing. Matthew was one of Jesus' first followers, one of his disciples. And he said something in his biography of Jesus. He quoted Jesus talking about just how hard this race of life will be. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, hey, if you're a follower of mine, you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But look at this now, look at this. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Life is a marathon. Man, there are hills, there are valleys, there are ups, there are downs, but you don't need Matthew's gospel to tell you that, do you? You don't need Matthew's gospel to tell you that life is hard because you're busy living it. And you know life can be hard. Your own experience teaches you that. So what does Hebrews have to say about that? Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Look at verse 2 now. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Look to Jesus. Listen, if you want to make it in life, you got to keep your eyes up. Where do you keep your eyes? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the example for you and me. He shows us how to finish well and how to be faithful, how to endure, how to defeat sin, and how to live the kind of life that God wants. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Listen, if you don't want to give up, you have got to keep your eyes up. Here's the second place I want you to look. I want you to look at Jesus, and I want you to keep your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Verse 2 says, "For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." That was the finish line for Jesus. The cross wasn't the finish line for Jesus. The resurrection wasn't the finish line for Jesus. The finish line for him was when he sat down at the right hand of God. That was the finish line, and that's where Jesus was looking. Listen, you and I, we need to keep our eyes on the finish line. When Jesus was praying in the garden, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done," he was keeping his eyes on the finish line. When Jesus was drugged before the Jewish leaders and they accused him of blasphemy, he kept his eyes on the finish line. When Jesus was hauled before Pilate, he had his eyes on the finish line. When the crowd was jeering, "Crucify him, crucify him," Jesus' eyes were on the finish line. When they jabbed a crown of thorns on his head and they stripped him of his clothing and beat him, his eyes were on the finish line. When he carried his cross to Golgotha, his eyes were on the finish line. When they placed him on the cross and hung him between heaven and earth, his eyes were on the finish line. And here's where I'm at. If Jesus can endure all of that for me, I think that maybe I can endure some of life's difficulties for him. And so can you. Man, if you don't want to give up, you've got to keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes on the finish line. Whatever it is you're going through right now is not the period in your life's story. It is just a paragraph. It is just a chapter. You can write a new chapter of your faith story with Jesus at the center. One of Jesus' early followers, a man named Paul, was imprisoned because of his faith. All of these things that Matthew described in chapter 24, Paul experienced. And here's what Paul said during the end of his race. "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return." And get this now, this is important for you. "And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing," including you, including me. If you don't want to give up, you have got to keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Here's the third thing I'd encourage you to do. Keep your eyes on the people in front of you. Keep your eyes on the people who are ahead of you in this race so you can see their example of faithfulness. Man, when you find someone who's a little older than you and they're faithful to God and they're following his plan for their life, man, you watch them. You do what they do. You let them be the pace setter for your life. Verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." This is the Hebrew writer talking about Jesus. Says, "Consider him." Now, this is the only time in the New Testament where we find that Greek word that is translated "consider." This is it, the only time. And it literally means to be attentive, to pay attention. Pay attention to, be attentive to Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. And my friends, when you're running this race, if you find yourself being discouraged, you find yourself hurting, you find yourself confused, pay attention to the faithful people who are ahead of you in this race. Pay attention to people like Mrs. Doty. Pay attention to people like Mr. Blakely. Pay attention to people who are ahead of you in this race so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. Pay attention to people like Paul. Paul said this. Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." When you find someone who's following the example of Christ, when you find someone like a Doc Doty or a Jeannie Brown or an Ann Fischel or Mr. Palmer, when you find someone like that, you pay attention to them, you follow their example as they follow the example of Christ. And then, friends, do not give up. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Even when you fall down, get back up. Dust yourself off and run again. If you don't want to give up, you've got to keep your eyes up. You might have seen a video on YouTube several months ago, and it was new to me, so I'm maybe new to you too. In 2008, Heather Dornadin was running at the indoor track, the Big Ten Indoor Track and Field Championships, and she was really excited because it was taking place in Minnesota at the University of Minnesota, which was where she ran. She ran for the Golden Gophers. And so she was excited as a senior to be able to run in front of her home crowd. The previous year, she was the national champion in the 800 meters. She was excited to be able to bring that same level of success to the 600 meter run. She was the favorite. And so in order to qualify for the finals, she had to finish at the top of her heat. And she was expected to do so. Imagine the excitement, running in front of all her family and friends, her senior year, her last Big Ten championships, and here she's the race favorite. And I want to show you some video of that race. And it's a little bit grainy. It's, you know, kind of video shot from, I don't know, you know, somebody with a crank doing this, right? But it's pretty amazing and inspired me, and I think it'll inspire you. Let's take a look at it together.
The 600 meter underway. Heather Dornadin in Minnesota finished second this event a year ago. She was in lane four.
And Dornadin is probably going to be your favorite. She actually won the NCAA championships in 2006 in the 800, but she only won one Big Ten championship in the 2 years.
Three laps in this event, 600 meters, three times around the 200 meter track here at the Field House.
What a bold move by Fawn. She's looking very confident, and the Penn State runner is just running amazing today. She did win her heat in the 400, but ended up taking fourth overall.
That's Fawn Dorr moving into the lead, a sophomore from Penn State. Dornadin running second.
Dornadin last year scored 23 points for the Golden Gophers in their Big Ten championship, so they're really relying on getting a lot of points from her this weekend, and she's just coming by Fawn Dorr now in the home stretch, heading into the bell lap.
Dornadin falling down, gets up quickly, but that's going to cost her. Lucky she wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dornadin is flying down the backstretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Fawn Dorr, and she may catch the leader.
Wow.
She's got Fawn.
This is a gutsy effort by Dornadin. Can't she pull it off? She's moving to third. Dornadin coming down the stretch from the outside. Dornadin coming on strong. Dornadin all the way. Dornadin.
That is amazing. To fall in a 600, I mean, this is basically a sprint. I mean, this is an extended 400, basically. To fall with 200 meters to go and get up and win, that is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
That's one of the most exciting moments I've seen. Here's the fall.
She trips on Fawn's shoe.
It looked like Fawn just clipped her heel, and she went down just before the bell lap.
Heather's a professional runner now, and you can find her Twitter at Heather Kampf. She's since married, last name K-A-M-P-F. Her Twitter page describes her as this: constantly striving to represent God who has blessed my life abundantly. Earlier this year, she wrote these words on her blog: I committed to view life as a constant climb, even in the face of dips, dead ends, or drops. So long as I view each victory and each trial as a stepping stone along the way, then I will always be moving towards something better. I don't know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Heather, but I wonder if that's something better, if she's not cribbing a little bit from the last verse of Hebrews 11 that tells us that God had something better planned for us. And did you see her eyes at the end of that race as she came around that fourth turn? How her eyes were up and focused and fixed on the finish line? I want you to know this morning that you and I, we're a little bit like Heather Dornabin. No, we are not elite runners. We are never going to compete for a Big Ten championship. But there are times when we have fallen. There are times when you and I have not met our own expectations or the expectations of others. There are times when we have crashed, and some of us have done so publicly in ways that are humiliating and embarrassing. But here's what I know. We can get back up. We can get back up and we can continue to run because we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You couldn't hear the PA announcer in that indoor arena, but what he said when he saw Dornadin screaming down the backstretch is, "Look out, here comes Heather Dornadin." And I'm telling you, wherever you're at in your race today, whether you're flying, whether you're leading the pack, or whether you feel like you've crashed and burned and you're just getting back up and trying to make your way, I want you to know that there's a cloud of witnesses in heaven cheering for you. And somewhere in that cloud, I don't know if it's Dr. Doty or Mr. Palmer, Ann or Jeannie, maybe it's someone who loves you, who taught you about Jesus, one of your family who's in that cloud. Someone is saying, look out for her. Look out for him, because they're going to finish the race strong. Do not grow weary and do not lose heart. Wally's going to lead us in one final song this morning. Here's what I want you to know. Scattered throughout the room, you're going to find some people wearing blue lanyards. These are people who would love to pray with you. We have ladies available in our prayer room, which is across the lobby. They would love to pray with you. Ladies, if you just want to go someplace quiet and pray, you can pray with one of them. Maybe you've fallen down and you need to get back up. We would love to pray with you about that. We would love to encourage you in your race. The great cloud of witnesses isn't just in heaven. We're here today too, and we're rooting for you. We want you to win. Father, help us to win this race in which we find ourselves. Not for our own sake, but for your glory. Because of who your son Jesus is, we know we have all that we need to win. Let us consider him and not grow weary and not lose heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.